bring you grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. It's great to be back. I think I was here last year on Reformation Sunday, and it's great to be back. I want you to know that I have a lot of respect for your pastor and the work that he does amongst you, your community, and now as he's vacationing in the South Pole, right? Will there be vacation in the South Pole? I don't think so. You probably won't need to take your shorts either, right? Yeah. And I want to commend you for supporting him, for praying for him and his family, and I know that's what he will be doing for you. So I represent 203 other congregations in the northern third of Illinois, everywhere from Kankakee to the Cheddar Curtain, and from Lake Michigan over to Iowa. I usually refer to the place above the Cheddar Curtain as God's country, because that's where I come from, but people from Illinois don't like that, particularly if my team is beating your team. Teams. A few weeks ago, I went to visit a pastor friend of mine. He's in rehab, not doing real well, and I would bring along my communion kit and knew we would have a visit, and as I walked in the door, we did the pleasantries. And I sat down, and he says, "So how's your job?" And that's a loaded question for somebody who does what I do. And before I could answer, he said, "That's wrong. How's your calling?" And it was really good in that question that he reminded me that it's more than a job, it's a calling. By God, particularly when times get tough. So this morning, I won't ask you how your job is, but how is your calling going? Your pastor has a calling to serve God, a calling to serve you, a calling to serve the community, and it's not just the guys in the white robes, even the acolyte, who have a calling, but it's all of us. You have a calling. You got more than a job, and it's not about a paycheck. It is a calling that you have been given by God. And that's why it's hard sometimes, because it's a calling. God called you. Monday morning, God called you. For this time and for this place. And he wanted you here right now, living and doing what you're doing, even when it's hard. And Jesus says, if anyone is going to come after me, you must carry your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. You have a calling to carry a cross. He took your sins, but you carry the cross. And as he called those first disciples, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You have a calling by God. He called your name in baptism. By the way, I love your baptismal font. And I love preaching in your church, because every preacher knows that we preach Christ crucified and risen. When you were baptized, you weren't baptized into this church or wherever you were baptized. You weren't baptized as a Lutheran or a Catholic or a Methodist or a Presbyterian. You were baptized into Christ, his death and resurrection. And he shared with you his story and his victory. You are not a hopeless people. You are a hope-filled people. You are about Christ. Your life is a congregation. And you get to bear witness to Jesus. How's your calling? My friend reminded me when he asked that question that the burdens, the struggles, the challenges are all worth it because it's God ordained. And yours is God ordained. That brings me to this marvelous text. It's the gospel reading. It's not an easy text, but it's a marvelous text because Jesus knows exactly what his disciples need. He's getting them ready. Just like this morning, he's getting you ready. He has a message for you. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. Have you ever heard like somebody tell a story and after the story you're not sure why he told that story? I'm not talking about your pastor. You might be saying that after I'm done preaching. What was that all about? But Luke says, I'm going to tell you what this is all about because Jesus' disciples need to always pray, and they're going to be tempted like you are tempted to give up on your prayers. And you say, I prayed about that once. Nothing happened. God mustn't be listening. Walter A. Meyer, the founder of the first speaker of the Lutheran Hour, got a letter from a woman. And for 38 years, she had been praying that her husband would come to know Jesus as his Savior. She wanted to give up. She was frustrated. What should I do, Dr. Meyer? Keep praying. Maybe it'll happen in the 39th year. What is it you need to keep praying about? I mean, I don't want to get into your personal business. But what is it that you need to be praying about? Who is it? And then Jesus tells, no offense, but it's kind of a strange story. Kind of a strange parable. Because he talks about this unrighteous judge. And he's unrighteous because he doesn't really care what God thinks. And he really doesn't care what the people think. It's all about him. Thank goodness none of our politicians are this way, right? But he's got a thorn in his side, an annoying widow. And she's not got a lot of standing in the community, and she's persistent. She keeps coming to this unjust judge who doesn't care about God and doesn't care about the people, and she wants justice. And she annoys him. He says, I don't really care, except that she's so annoying. For sometimes, the text says he refused, but finally he said to himself, he's talking to himself, he's thinking to himself, even though I don't fear God, I don't care about the people, yet this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice. Not because justice is good, but because then she'll be quiet. Now, it's really interesting here that if you look at the Greek, she eventually won't come back and give me a black eye. Not like a literal black eye, but a black eye to his reputation. It's all about him. It's all about his reputation. Now, strangely, Jesus uses this story to talk about God. Because God has a reputation. The Bible is all about his reputation. You want to know what God is like? Read the Bible. You want to know what God is like? See Jesus. Hear Jesus. God has a reputation. He is full of grace and he is full of truth, as your Lord Jesus is full of grace and truth. So last night, my wife and I stayed here in town, and I went out to be the hunter and gatherer, so I went to a restaurant to get some food, and I sat down and was waiting for my food and was having a conversation with a woman, and she was there all alone, and I was waiting for my food, and we talked about why we were there, and she says, well, why are you here? And I says, well, I'm preaching at Faith Lutheran Church. She says, well, I used to work in a Lutheran preschool in whatever state it was. And we talked a little bit more, and I said, well, do you have a faith background? That's when she started pouring it out. She says, oh, I used to go to church, but I went through a divorce, and they were very judgmental. I wanted nothing to do with them. And then she went a little more on, and I was thinking, will my hummus be done soon? Because this is more than I bargained for. You see, God has a reputation, and the church has a reputation. Your church has a reputation. And you want to make sure that the reputation of your church lines up with what God would have your reputation be. You want to make sure that your reputation as a congregation lines up with the reputation that God would have you. Don't give the church a black eye. God doesn't want, the unjust judge doesn't want him to have a black eye. And then Jesus says, I'm going to explain this parable. Listen to what the unjust says. And will I not bring justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? You are the chosen ones. You are the elect ones. You are the forgiven ones. And if the unjust judge is going to take care of that woman, he is going to take care of you. He is going to bring about justice. And then he talks about bringing about justice quickly. And many commentators believe that Jesus there is talking about the justice that happened on the cross, where God went face to face with evil, where God took your sorrows and lay them on his son, and every public sin and every private sin that you and I have committed, Jesus took upon himself. You know what? He not only took your sin, but he has taken your shame. Do you ever look in the mirror having disappointed yourself and say, why in the world did I do that? What was I thinking? Or maybe you say, why didn't I? Shame. The devil likes to use your shame in mind for us to doubt God and his forgiveness. What's your shame? And isn't it a marvelous thing that Jesus took upon himself in his body your shame so that you might know what it is to be set free, so that when God looks down from you from heaven, he sees you holy and blameless, his chosen one, his forgiven ones. That's the gospel. And now you have a reputation as his forgiven people. The pastor tells a story. He was driving, and he was driving in the city, and like you can happen in Chicago, you stop at a stoplight, there's somebody there with a sign, I'm homeless, God bless you, I need something. And to be honest with you, many times I just stare ahead. But this pastor rolls down his window, looks at the guy and says, just wait. And he reaches back and he forgot his wallet. Feels terrible. He says, I'm so sorry, forgot my wallet. I'm going to be driving through here in an hour. If you're here, my wife's taking me to the airport. We'll give you something then. And the homeless man said, sir, it's okay. Just thank you for looking at me. The God that you and I know in Jesus Christ is the God who looks at you. And he knows you through and through. And he says, your sins are forgiven. I love you with an everlasting love. And if he loves you that deeply, then he says, pray always and don't give up on praying. Because he's looking at you right now and he's listening. Well, just one last verse. Verse 8. I tell you, they will get justice quickly. And justice for us isn't always getting our way or right thing here on earth, but justice is what we see in Jesus. His life, death, and his resurrection, and it is for you. You need to hear this. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, he would have done it just for you. And when he rose again, he declared your sins forgiven. And you are baptized into his death and resurrection. Then Jesus asks this question, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? He knows it's hard. But the answer to the question is yes. When the Son of Man comes, he will find faith in the earth because he creates faith and he sustains faith. The next question would be is, will he find faith in your life when you die or when he comes back? And the answer is yes. I am a woman of faith. I am a man of faith. We are a church of faith. We know our God has a reputation, and he's going to keep his reputation. He will find faith on earth. Pray always and don't give up. I end with this. Sky Jathani is a Christian author. He and his father are in India. You've been to India, Pastor. Anybody else here been to India? So he's in Calcutta standing on one of the street corners, and obviously there's a lot of poverty, and they notice a little boy who can't walk on his legs because the lower part of his legs are deformed. He walks on his knees, and his knees are red and calloused. And he kind of scampers toward the two men. He looks at them, and he figures that the older guy is going to have more money than the younger guy. So he goes to the older guy, and he holds out his hand, and he says, 1 rupee. Give me 1 rupee. The older gentleman, with a twinkle in his eye, smiles at the kid. And he says, 5. I'll give you 5 rupee. Now, that little boy, he knew poverty. He knew that guy wasn't going to give him 5 rupee. He just wanted 1. So he gets kind of a scowl on his face, and he turns away, and he starts cursing the older gentleman, moving away. And then he hears the rustle of some coins. So he turns back, and there is the older gentleman with 5 rupee in his hand. And he hands it to the little boy. Little boy takes it, turns away, and starts scampering off. And he stops, goes back to the older gentleman, and he grabs onto his feet, kisses his feet, because he received more than he asked for. I got to be honest. Sometimes I only ask for 1 rupee when God wants to give me 5. But he loves to give. He loves to listen. And I don't know where you've been or what you've done, but he loves you. He loves to hear you pray. He's invested in your today and your future. And so, friends, Jesus told this parable so that his disciples would always pray and never give up. So as your pastor heads south, pray for him, his family. And I find it very comforting when I go to church knowing I'm not praying alone. I want you to know that people are praying for you in this church and beyond. God bless you. Thanks for all that you are doing here and through your partners in the NID. God bless you. Keep up the good work, faith. Keep the main thing, the main thing. Amen.
Let's rise now. We'll continue with the confession.